In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, that by knowing it, they may live in it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Entry number 107, July 27th, 1931, from volume 29. Hence, daughter, there have not been true breakups between my divine will and yours. And if this would have happened, may it never be. For heaven's sake, my daughter, you would have incurred in the same misfortune of Adam. How many preparations had not preceded his existence? Our love was not at peace until it had put forth sky and sun more abundantly, pleasant garden, and so many other things, all preparatory acts as vent for our works, for love of this man. And in creating him, our divine life poured forth in him, making himself permanent life of him, in such a way that he could feel us inside as perennial life, and outside he could feel us in our works created out of love for him. Our love was so great that it made himself the revealer of our divine being in the interior of man, because it had established our permanent life in him, and revealer in the outside in such a way that every created thing was a revelation of our love made to him, more so than in creation all created things were given to man, as well as our life, in a permanent way, not in intervals. Yes, a good given today and tomorrow, no. It is a broken love, and the nature of our love is not adapted to an interrupted love. It is eternal and never says enough. Hence, Adam, as he broke with our divine will, he gambled away all the creation and also our life in him. The offense of removing oneself from our divine will is very great, that we put aside all our preparations, the great good we have put forth, and we move away from man, and with us all of creation is offended. Thus, as Adam made the breakup with our will, the sky, the stars, the sun, the air he breathed, the sea, the earth he trod on were offended. All felt offended, because my divine will is like the heartbeat and the circulation of blood of all created things. Therefore, all felt the sorrow of the severance of the human volition by feeling the heartbeat from which they received life and conservation being touched out of place. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Not much to explain, right? It's very clear what the Lord is explaining, is telling to Luisa Picarreta is very clear, but let's try to analyze it a little bit, just try to understand it. Our Lord Jesus explains here that the misfortune. What is the misfortune that Adam incurred him? The misfortune is to depart from that union in which he was constituted. That's the definition, or that's the word that the catechism uses, the word constituted, to say that he was created in that place, in that union. So since the beginning, it was natural for Adam to function in that way, in that unity of the two wills together, because the human will in itself is not bad. It's a gift. It's something good because God gave it to us. What makes it bad is the use of that free will apart from the union in which Adam and Eve were constituted, in union with the will of God. So that's the misfortune of Adam, to depart from that will of God. And it is remarkable that all the saints, in their own way, they wanted, in a way, almost like a natural thing in men, to go back to that union in different ways. St. John of the Cross, he aimed to that. That was his, all his meditations, they were aimed to arrive to the union of the human will with the divine will. And he will call it the transforming union. And the same with Saint Teresa of Lisieux. So many others. Another one, Brother Lawrence. They have this aspiration to attain the union of the human will with the divine, but they didn't arrive to that. In their own way, they arrived, but they didn't have all this divine science to understand it and to ascend to that spiritual level. So this is the misfortune of Adam. The misfortune of Adam consisted of departing from that human will in which, in that union of the human will and the divine in which he was placed, created, constituted. That's the word that the Catechism uses, constituted, in 375. So because he was constituted in this way and he departed, now we need to be reconstituted, redeemed. And this is what our Lord Jesus did. Now in baptism, we are reconstituted. We become a new creation in Christ. So he redeemed us. And in a way, in baptism, we are remade, make anew. Then another thing that our Lord mentions here, he mentions all the preparations. How many preparations had not preceded his existence, the existence of Adam? And this, we can also verify all the preparations. Everything in the book of Genesis, the first and the second chapter, the creation of heaven and earth. And then the church articulates this in a very simple way in 358 in the catechism. Basically, what the Lord Jesus is already telling us, he's talking about all the many preparations that precede the existence of Adam. We can see that in the book of Genesis, And then it says, our love was not at peace until I had put forth sky and sun and more abundantly place without him in the garden. So all these preparations that God, the Blessed Trinity, is doing to place Adam. The church expresses this in a very simple way. It says, God created everything for men. Basically, it's the same thing that what our Lord Jesus is explaining to Luther Picaretta here. So there is no contradiction. Our Lord is clarifying and explaining more basically what the church is already telling us in 358. And then the church tells us, yes, and we were created to know God, to love him, and also to offer everything back to God. And basically, that's what St. Francis of Assisi learns to do when he talks about all of this in the Canticle of Creation. This is the way St. Francis of Assisi learns to do what the church is telling us to do in 358. And everything was preparatory for what? For Adam to be placed in that garden. To be able to rule, to subdue, to be fruitful, to multiply, to conquer, basically, to possess all the gifts that God gave him. And everything is made out of love for men. So this is what basically Luisa Picaretta is doing whenever she says, I was doing my rounds of creation. She's corresponding, she's loving God, she's recognizing, she is going around and making her own, basically receiving, acknowledging what God has done for her. And then in return, she offers everything back in an act of thanksgiving, of love. And this is what we are called to do. And in the Canticle of St. Francis of Assisi, that's what St. Francis of Assisi is doing when he tells us in that Canticle, Most High, All-Powerful, Good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, the honor, and all blessings. To you alone, Most High, do they belong. And no man is worthy to mention your name. Praise be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially in brother son. He's acknowledging. And then he's praising God. Then he explains, who is the day and through whom you give us light. And he's beautiful and radiant with great splendor, as God is beautiful and radiant, far beyond our understanding. And then he says, and bears a likeness of you, Most High. And this is exactly what our Lord is telling us, that all creation bears the likeness of God. In a different way. The Lord says, in creating him, our divine life pour forth in him, making himself permanent life in him. Let's go back again in the Catechism 375. It says that this grace of the original holiness of this constitution in which Adam was created consisted in God sharing his life constantly. This union, we can describe that this union was based on God being able to share his life with that creature at every moment. Basically, to share himself, who he is, with the creature at every moment, constantly, not in intervals, because that's imperfect, that's broken love. When you love one day, yes, and another day, no, and there are intervals, that's broken, imperfect love. And God is perfect, perfect love. So this divine participation that he experienced, Adam and Eve experienced, was permanent. And then he says, in the same way that he was able to recognize something, our likeness, as I mentioned, the sun, the light, the beauty of God, through the words of St. Francis of Assisi, he was able to see in the exterior world. He also was able to feel it, to experience it inside of him. He says he could feel us inside as permanent, as a perennial life. And this is what the Catechism says, that it was a divine participation, constant divine participation. When we go to receive the sacraments, we experience that. And then as soon as the Eucharist is consumed, then and stays in us, then the real presence is gone. The real presence only remains as long as the matter remains, as the species remain. Once it's consumed and it stays in us for a certain period of time, that then that divine presence is gone. But in the original state of holiness, Adam and Eve experienced the constant divine participation and were able to feel, this is what our Lord says, that they were able to feel the divine presence, not only outside, but also inside. And isn't that what we are called to recognize, the divine presence of God in everything, in creation, just as St. Francis of Assisi is able to recognize the divine presence outside in everything. In this canticle, St. Francis of Assisi, the part that I read to you, is praising God through the light, the sun. And he tells us how it bears the likeness of God Most High. And then he continues, he says, praise be you, my Lord, through sister moon and stars in heaven. You form them clear and precious and beautiful. He's recognizing. That's why St. Francis of Assisi, I think, is the saint that resembles the original man the most. And I think is the saint that was able to go back to the point of origin, the one that came the closest. And when this is also like almost like a thirst that we have, that we experience, that we want to feel the presence of God inside of us. How many times people go to retreats, to different events, and they want to experience, they want to feel that healing, that sense, because that was the original way we were created. The original holiness, Adam was able to feel the divine presence inside at every moment. That's what the Lord is telling us through this writing. He says, outside he could feel us in our works. He's very clear. Outside he was able to feel God, the Blessed Trinity in the Word. So exactly what St. Francis of Assisi is recognizing. Luisa Picaretta learned how to do the rounds of creation. So everything is impressed in her mind, in her memory, because remember, our Lord Jesus takes her out of her body and she goes around and she's able to see it. For us, we have to use these prayers, and now that we learn through these writings how to do it, it will become easier and easier the more we exercise and we practice that way of praying. And even with these prayers that I'm reading to you from St. Francis, it says, praise be you, my Lord, through brother wind and through the earth, cloudy and serene, and every kind of weather, through which you give sustenance to your creatures. Notice that he says every kind of weather, not only when it's nice and sunny and all of that, but also when it's rainy, when it's not so nice, but very hot. He's able to recognize that. Praise be you, my Lord, through sister water, which is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. Pure, because God is soul purity. The water resembles something of God. Tells us something of God. So, in a way that just by looking at creation outside, all the works that God created, he was able to learn more something about God in the state of holiness, in the original state of holiness in which Adam was created. And we were designed, the plan of God was that every descendant of Adam was able to be constituted. It was to be constituted in this state, and everybody will grow in the likeness more and more and more, always according to the capacity of the creature, because God is eternal. The creature can only know so much about God that was only the limit. Praise be you, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise you, my Lord, through sister mother earth, who sustain us and govern us, and who produce all kinds of fruits and flowers. So this is the way we were supposed to learn more about God in that state of holiness. But because he departed, that's the misfortune. So hopefully by learning what Adam was supposed to be doing and how he was designed to operate, and learning what we lost, hopefully that will also stir in our souls the desire to live in the way that Adam was supposed to live, that now we have the possibility to go back and to pick up basically from where Adam left. Because we have the knowledge, we have been reconciliated, we have been redeemed. That's the most important thing, that we, the saints of the past, in the Old Testament, they couldn't arrive to this understanding and the possession of the divine will operating in them like Luisa did. because we needed a redeemer, somebody who will reconcile us. Yes, the Blessed Mother lived in that way, but it was by grace. It was a prevenient grace given to her in advance for her mission to be the mother of the Redeemer. But now that we have been redeemed and reconciled, we have the door is open. We have the possibility to go back and now be able to live in the way God designed all of us to live. It says, our love was so great that it made himself the revealer of our divine being in the interior of man. In the interior. Because they possess, they were created with the possession of God's will operating in them. Because it had established our permanent life in him, permanent. And revealing the outside in such a way that every created thing was a revelation of our love made to him. So in creation, all created things were given to man as well as our life in a permanent way, not an intervals. Everything was given. Everything. So the love of God, as he mentioned, it is not a broken love. It is a perfect love. It is a love that loves constantly. That's why it's so beautiful also. Another saint that arrived so close to the understanding of the divine will is Saint Elizabeth of the Blessed Trinity, a Carmelite. And the beautiful letter that she has, let yourself be loved. This is what God has been telling us. Let yourself be loved. Recognize my love for you. Come out of that, leave behind that broken love and learn to love with perfect love. Basically, what St. Paul will tell us that put on Christ in the armor of Christ, or let the old behind. We have to put on the new man, which is to learn to love as we were designed to love God constantly. So what does it mean to love God constantly? St. Paul also tells us that he admonishes us by saying, pray at all time, constantly, with prayers and supplications. May your request be known. Pray without ceasing. This is the way we can accomplish that, to pray without ceasing, meaning that by willingly going back to this union, by willingly surrendering our will and to tell our Lord Jesus, I give you my will. I want you to come and do everything in me. I give you my will as a gift. And then once the divine will begins to operate in the creature, with the freedom of the creature, allowing the divine will to operate freely in the acts. It is through the acts. Then a little by little, the creature is going to arrive, to ascend to this level of spirituality, to recover the original way of holiness, the original sanctity that the Catechism talks about. The Lord tells Elizabeth Caretta something very important here. He says that and the nature of our love is not adapted to an interrupted love. Our will has to adapt to the divine will. It's not the other way around. Our will has to align itself with the will of God. Because the will of God is perfect and the human will is imperfect, is created. The divine will is eternal, forever existed and forever will exist. There has never been a moment that the divine will didn't exist and will not exist. Yet the human will, there will be a time that the human will not exist anymore. The saints in heaven, they don't possess free will anymore. They are fixed in the will of God. So basically, this is what also the church has been telling us through the commandments which are given by God to Moses, to enlighten the human will. The Ten Commandments, they are a preparation. We could say that the Ten Commandments, they are a preparation for the Messiah and a preparation ultimately for the human race to recover this way of holiness. Everything that we know now in the past, everything in the economy of salvation was pointing for this moment. For the purpose for everything is that the human race will recover what God designed since the beginning and Adam lost. So we can say in this sense, we can see that the Ten Commandments, they are a preparation for the gift to return and operate in men. So now through the Ten Commandments, we align ourselves. So we learn to align. God teaches us how to align ourselves to that, basically to tame the human will that led by itself, it really is the source of destruction in men, of self-destruction, operating apart from that, and we see that. So it's eternal. The love of God is eternal, and it never ends. That's why St. Paul also, when he enumerates the three virtues, theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, he says at the end, only love will remain. Why? Because love is eternal. And God is love itself. So in heaven, there is nothing else to hope for. That's why we don't need hope. There is nothing else to believe, to wait to believe. You see it clearly. So you will see it. So basically, it's love that is eternal. The Lord says, this love is eternal and never says enough, never says enough. Even in heaven, he will continue to shower the blessed with new love, new showers of love. The only difference is that in heaven, everybody is fixed in their own capacity to receive. So that's why it is only when we are alive that we are able to expand basically our capacity to receive. How? Through the acts done in union with the divine will. And that's why that passage from volume 14 is so important to understand the whole gift of the divine will. Volume 14, May 27, 1922, the prevenient and the actual act. It tells us the mechanics, basically, of how to enter into this. And remember that Adam didn't possess any sin. He was constituted clean, in a state of holiness, immaculate, we could say, with no sin. He experienced sin after departing. So for us, we need to avail ourselves. There have to be preparations. So that's why we take all the teachings of the church. The Ten Commandments, everything that the Lord has given us, the sacraments, which are needed because we are living in this state of basically corruption in the human nature. That our nature, in a way, is being corrupted. So we experience all these tendencies, what the church calls concupiscence, and jealousy, envy, lust, all the deadly sins that the human nature is infested with. So we have, in a way, we have to battle against these tendencies in the human nature. That they are not natural at all, because this is not the way God designed it. In the original state of holiness and justice, Adam was constituted pure, clean, immaculate, with no sin. He only had to remain in that union, and God will cause him to grow through every single act. I have mentioned before that he didn't have to do his prevenient and his actual act. No. He just had to be, to remain operating in that way. He just had to obey not to eat from that fruit. But again, he falls into that misfortune of departing. And then in the same way we were designed to naturally receive that gift from Adam and Eve, now we receive the opposite. Original sin, which is the absence of God in the creature. So the Book of Heaven, through the writings given to the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, our Lord Jesus, now that he has redeemed us, he has reconciled us. He's given us, basically, we can say, the formal instruction. He's catechizing us. The catechism, when uses that word catechesis, describes it in number 4 of the catechism, in the catechism, is number 4, that it explains what catechesis means. And he says the following. Let me see if I can find it here. He says that the name catechesis was given to the totality of the church efforts to make disciplines to help men believe that Jesus is the Son of God so that believing they might have life in his name and to educate and instruct them in this life. So catechesis is to be catechized is to educate, it says the church, to educate and to instruct ourselves in the life of Jesus, in the teachings of Jesus. So our Lord Jesus is doing with Luis Picarreta through these passages, through the whole book of heaven, these private revelations, he's catechizing Luis Picarreta in the science of the divine will. He's catechizing her with the original sanctity. Catechesis means then to be educated, to be informed, to be instructed. So what we are doing when we read these writings, we are catechizing ourselves in the science of the divine will and building upon the foundation that we have in the teachings of the church. We need this foundation in order to understand the divine science. Because remember, there was a interval. There was a gap. If Adam had not departed from this union, there would have no need for us to have this catechesis in the Ten Commandments, in the sacraments, because everything was natural. But because there is a brokenness, there is a gap, there is a space there, God had to reconstruct us, reconstitute us. He had to redeem us. Now that we have been reconstituted in baptism and given the teachings of who Christ is, now we are ready to be catechized in the divine science. And this is what our Lord Jesus did with Luisa Picarreta. He catechized her in the divine science, so she is the first teacher of this divine science. So now we are prepared, and every time we read, every time we gather to read the book of heaven and to share ideas, then we are catechizing ourselves, instructing ourselves in this divine science. Luisa Picarreta is the first one. That's why it's so important also to know the faith. Because if we know the faith and we read these writings through the glasses of the faith, it will be easier to understand it. Not only the obstinate, they will not understand. And there will be people who, even the gospel says, they have eyes and they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. In this passage is so simple and is very clear. Our Lord explaining, and we share already some passages from the catechism, how the teaching of the church supports what our Lord says is telling us. And through this, now we are able to understand just what is the purpose of man? What is the purpose of our existence? to know God, to love him, and to give him back all his creation. To enter into this eternal mode of loving constantly through every single act. Yes, but because we live in the state of after the fall, there is this need in the human nature to constantly going back. Basically, constantly rectifying, because there is almost like a force of gravity that is always pulling us back. And we have to fight that. And that's why we have the sacraments. Because through the sacrament of reconciliation, our Lord Jesus helps us again with his grace, with that divine grace to be able to go back and to restore us every time, every time, every time. It's almost like a chemotherapy that our Lord Jesus gives us again and again and again and again and again. Because as long as we live in this world, we will always be in that tendency. Yes, we will overcome more and more and more with the grace of God, but we will only attain that perfection in heaven. So it is a blessing that we are able to read these writings, that we have these writings in our time, and that we are able now to go back and start living that life that Adam was living, using our free will to go back and to undo what Adam did. The Lord says that Adam gambled away all creation and also our life in him. He gambled, he squanders. And there is a passage in the gospel that our Lord Jesus uses this word squanders in a parable, the prodigal son. This very well applies, the parable of the prodigal son very well applies to Adam. That he went and he gambled. Everything. It can be applied also now for all of us, now that we know the divine will. That if we know this way of living, and we don't do it, we neglect it, we are gambling. We are gambling, we are gambling basically our eternal life. Compared, the time here is really a period of so short. It's nothing. 80, 90, 100. Those who are blessed to live 100 years. 100. Compared with all eternity is nothing. It's like comparing a little piece of sand with all the sand in the ocean. It's nothing. So the call for us, that's why the title of these writings is the call to the creature to go back to the place that belongs to us. What is that place? It's the union of the two wills. And now we know the road. We have the map. We just have to follow. We have the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We have the guidance of the church and all the fathers of the church, the saints. We have the teaching of our Lord Jesus in the Book of Heaven. We have the example of the Blessed Mother. We have the example of Luisa Picaretta herself, how she learned to be living in this way, that she was catechized. So we have to do the same. So our Lord Jesus also tells that Even the whole creation now is offended. Yes, why? Because now we have become basically slaves. It says the divine will is like the heartbeat in the circulation of blood of all created things. That's why this phrase of of Saint Francis of Assisi is so fitting when he says, "Sister, Mother Earth." I like this term of sister because if all creation was created by God, we also were created by God. All right. So we have the same source, but nature was created for us. And we departed from that place in which we were created. I mean, Adam did. So this is the divine science that is given to us now through the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And I think, as I said, this is, if we analyze this and we read and we meditate this and we look these teachings through the teachings of the church, they make sense. They make sense, and we will be able to understand them. So that's why I encourage you to try to look at these places in the catechism to understand it, to understand these writings with the catechism. In the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 1, St. Paul says something. He says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now that we know this gift, we understand that when St. Paul is talking about every spiritual blessing, is in Christ because he redeemed us. And since the divine will is the source of everything, now we can say that we can make this prayer our own. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed in us in Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with the gift of the divine will. Which is the source of everything. And this is what we are supposed to do. This is the, basically, this is the duty of the creatures to be able to recognize God in everything. I just want to mention another, now that we were talking about this, recognizing God in everything, I want to mention another text that is not so common, or is not, I mean, is not so well known. It's common, but is not well known with people. And it's a beautiful prayer that is called the Te Deum. In that is a way also to praise, to be able to recognize. I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, "You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. And it goes on saying, to you, all angels and all powers in heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise, holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. And it goes through that. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. The glorious company of apostles praises you. The noble fellowship of prophets praises you. The white robe army of martyrs praises you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majestic unbounded. And it goes and on. So I just encourage you to look at that. And that's also an example of how the realms of creation, they are already part of the church. But now through the Book of Heaven, we see the whole thing. What the Catechism tells us in 66 that needs to be explained, this is the fulfillment. So let's leave it like that. Let's leave it at that in the Book of Adam. And I don't know, you want to go